Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We have been looking for an opportunity to discuss all things Succession Season 3, and today feels like the vibe, so we're going to get into it. I know that Millie and Sammy are, like, caught up. Are you caught up too, Elise?
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Okay, don't worry about spoiling it for me. I don't care. I just am not caught up. But we specifically wanted to talk about the Jeremy Strong profile. Because it got a lot of attention. Men of questionable personality is definitely a Thursday theme for us. So I think it fits. So over the weekend, the finale of Succession's third season aired on HBO. And alongside that, a New Yorker profile of actor Jeremy Strong, who plays Kendall Roy, came out a few days before. It was titled On Succession, Jeremy Strong Doesn't Get the Joke. And it prompted quite a reaction. Why did it prompt quite a reaction? My understanding is just that, like, he presents Strong as a pretty self-serious person, very dedicated to his craft to an extent that might inconvenience or bother people. But what was so objectionable about this that, like, multiple people, there was, like, a coordinated press campaign to defend him, from, like, Adam McKay to Jessica Chastain to Anne Hathaway, saying, no, this man is lovely. Explain.
Okay, I think because typically you don't get a profile where one's current coworkers are sort of openly as honest and frank about your place in the workforce.
Like, I think that just doesn't
doesn't typically happen. And I think
it's like a performance review, honestly.
Yeah, and I think the unfiltered nature, it's really more like a 360 feedback review that is public.
Lord, you know,
it's like, and, you know, everyone gets to weigh in on it. And yeah, I think that the specifics of the quotes were, like, very poignant. For example, one was Brian Cox saying, like, he's worried about, you know, the process he puts himself through. And one of them was Kieran Culkin was kind of, just his quote, I don't remember exactly the quotes, but, like, I was just like, this, you were calling him an asshole.
Yeah.
Jeremy's like, I think everyone's going to think that this is a comedy. And then, Kieran's like, it is a comedy. So, like,
yeah.
There were worse ones than that, though. They were, like, more direct about how he sort of
isolates himself.
And also, I thought kind of the shadiest thing that they said was that they should try acting, because the whole he was sort of implying
Olivier quote.
Yeah, and they were agreeing with that and basically saying, like, okay, he puts on this whole, like, production to put himself in a land where he can be delusional enough to essentially be able to act the part. And I think the other people who are just approaching it, you know, I'm here, I'm ready to work with my co-actor, and these are my lines, and these are your lines, and we're going to run them as efficiently as we can. He sort of takes it to a place that I think the people in his co-workers don't really deem necessary. But they all acknowledge that he gets good results, so.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like he's really good as Kendall Roy, and the piece kind of does say, like, the way some actors are able to get there is by being real fucking weirdos. And I think that Jeremy Strong is one of those actors who gets there by being a complete weirdo. I think the issue with like method acting stuff in general is it's usually something that's only afforded to male actors, though I do feel that Lady Gaga is entering the space fantastically.
Flawlessly.
I really do. I really do.
It's sounding to me like we can't really... it sounds like we're in a weird space culturally where we can't maybe, we're having trouble accepting the fact that a dude might be a little bit weird and a little bit off, but like he's not problematic. It's like, you don't have to go run to defend him for being a weirdo. Like we don't need Adam McKay. Like Aaron Sorkin wrote a statement that Jessica Chastain tweeted on his behalf. And it was just like, he's just a little weird. Like it's okay. Nobody has to be like, what? It's fine. What's the problem?
Well, it's difficult because we've gotten into a space with celebrities and because they have their own Instagrams and everyone's social media and no one wants to be canceled. Like we're not getting like honest profiles that are like critiquing celebrities in that same way because they can cut off access to publications whenever. So that's a big fear. And this was like the first one I think in a long time that's like this, like again, 360 of like he bankrupted his like the Yale acting department to like give an award to Al Pacino. Like he does like weird stuff, you know. It's just like a weird thing, but then it's also like I think it's just like, yeah, he's weird. He does this thing. It's inconveniencing. It is like weird to go to an office just to get the work example. Everyone is in there is like chatting. They improv. They have like great chemistry. Jeremy famously doesn't rehearse with them. He doesn't rehearse. He won't do this. Like he's very into it. And it's probably really annoying to work with him, but he does do good results, you know? And like, it's also like, it's weird because it's like, like you were saying, Amanda, like, how can we bring attention to this or like just be like, hey, that's a weird thing without it being like all his fucking, it's like that some violence happened to him or like everyone's making a statement and it's just like, did Aaron Sorkin do a statement for Black Lives Matter? Like, or something? That's what I'm just like, there are actual, it is 60 degrees in New York City today. Right. Like, there's things that you should be making statements about.
It's like, the thing you're most outraged today that not everybody likes my friend Jeremy? Like, it's fine. It's so interesting because it's like, if there's been profiles like this about, maybe not profiles, but stories like this about like Katherine Heigl and Julianna Margulies, and people do tend to defend them because there's like a sexist element. So I'm like, it's fine. He's not going to suffer. Like, are people worried he's not going to get hired?
Well, also, he did break.
Yeah. Oh, he's fine. Yeah,
he broke his femur and he broke his leg, like, doing this shit.
Oh, yeah. That's
obnoxious. He's actually gotten physically hurt. And that's what Brian Cox, too, was saying, was like, which I think is true. And we talk about this all the time on Betches. It's like, it's this American obsession to be, like, completely tied to your job and not have no identity and no work divided. And then that's where the try acting comes in. It's like, this is a job and you show up. And I think that's where the concern is. But he just like throws himself. I shared a video of him from another movie where he's like, to get in character, I only have like 7 photos of me and my mother. But to really understand the try, I ripped up this photo of me and my mom to really get me there emotionally. And it's like, you're fucking crazy. But it's like, also, I'm sure
you don't have to do that.
I feel like he's making art, but he's acting like it's a one-man show while everyone else is going to work. And it's like, maybe, and I think the people who came out and defended him are very quote unquote serious artists. You know what I mean? I think they probably felt like an obligation to like, not only defend him, but defend him in proxy for like the craft, you know, and that sort of serious acting. And it's like, okay, well, you also are in a workplace and he just is probably, it's almost as if the defense of him made it all feel more valid and more annoying.
Because the Barbara Streisand effect, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's sort of proved the point that it's just all taken so seriously. And, you know, as an actor, you're supposed to be able to take criticism. And I'm sure he probably didn't think that his process is fair game the same way his performance is.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, it kind of just... It makes sense. Like, I mean, if you watch Succession, it's basically like, especially this season, was like everybody versus Kendall. Or like, it kind of makes sense that he comes in, and it makes it even, and even just comedy performing and comedy acting, Elise, you can speak to this. It's like, it's funnier when the person's completely dead serious.
Yeah, like, he's so hilarious, it just works in the show because he takes everything so seriously. And like, yeah, I mean, the profile, it's a profile of an eccentric actor guy. And it's not like, it's not like he's not allowed in polite society, or that there's any accusations of him doing anything like heinous, really. It's just, he's like a weird guy. He's an eccentric guy. There's a long history of weird eccentric guys in Hollywood. And he's not even the weirdest or the most eccentric one. Jared Leto sent a rat to Margot Robbie's house.
Yeah.
He's not doing that. I mean,
it's sort of like, this is who you are, and he should just own it and accept that this is the, you know, it's okay. It's okay, it's to okay be this weirdo.
And it's okay if not everybody likes it. But I think it's just like our amygdalas from the in the post Me Too are like, he's fine. He didn't, what? He didn't touch any ladies. It's like, nobody saved it. It's fine. He's just a weird dude.
We're always, listen, I feel like there's all these themes that I always bring back, but it's also like, you want to act however you want to act not have any consequences for it. Like, it's just like, like, if you're going to be weird and lock yourself up and not let makeup artists say hi to you and all this shit to get in character, do you, and it works. But also, people are entitled to be like, that's fucking weird. And like, whatever, you know?
And, exactly. Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world that like, maybe the price you pay for being like a weirdo, like a weird genius guy, is that sometimes people are going to be like, he's acting like a weird genius guy.
Yeah. Like, and I think, you know what? That is gender progress. Do you guys want to share any of your Succession season 3 hot takes?
Ooh, I think Greg is the worst person in the family.
That's a real hot take.
I think Greg is the worst person because he had exposure. He did. He could have had a different life. He knew, like, he was exposed to another kind of life, and he chose to be with these nasty, terrible people and screw them all over. So to me, that makes Greg the worst. Where all these other kids had no choice, and they've all been abused and terrible. But Greg's he could have been better. So he's the worst to me.
That's a great hot take. Love that.
I don't have a hot take, but I can say what I'm looking forward to. It's a spoiler, I guess, but we're assuming people have seen it. I am excited for Connor Roy's wedding.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to end with the wedding.
That is going to be a mess. I love his fiance. Connor makes me laugh so much, and I really love, like, I feel like Donald Trump Jr. is Connor and Kendall at various points. Him not having his dad's direct phone number to text him during the insurrection is very Connor. but the fact that he was trying to get him to stop a little bit is very Kendall. He was like, no, we gotta stop this shit. It's getting out of control. It's like, that's Kendall. But the fact that he's like, dad's not picking up my calls is Connor.
My hot take or prediction is that Shiv and Tom's relationship is going to completely flip, and now she's going to be the one desperately trying to keep him, and he is going to suddenly have all the power, and it's going to be an interesting wake up for her.
Sammy, I'm going to piggyback on that and say season 4 is going to be like Father and the Bride 2, where both Shiv and Carrie are pregnant at the same time.
Yes.
And they're going to be raising babies at the same time.
Piggybacking on Carrie, I think Carrie's going to become like another contender for the throne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, exciting. Like, I mean,
regent.
I am realizing that I just said it's fine. It's not like anybody's comparing Jeremy Strong to like anybody bad, but we did pair him in an episode about Josh Duggar. But I think we might.
That is true.
I think he came out on apart top anyway. Of that comparison.
Listeners might not know. Exactly. We did him a favor there. The listeners might not know that comparison. I think we're going to split this episode up in two. For now, that is our show. Until the end of Democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sam Morales. Sorry.
Sorry.
We can do it in the same order as up top.
Yeah. Sorry.
Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.